All right, welcome to Return on Podcast. I'm Tyler, and we're doing a summer school series called Gold Nuggets for E-commerce Brands. We're going to dive into a few books that have really changed my life as a business owner. And because I'm a nerd and I read a lot and I do these little micro book reports anyway, I thought I would pull out the best ones and do the shortest version for you, my audience here at ROP. So we're going to give you three nuggets, two application stories, and one game-changing hack, all in less than 10 minutes. Are you ready? Let's dive in to today's discussion. All right, today, guys, we are going to dive into the deep end of the economics nerd pool. If you are interested in learning how to make money in e-commerce, if you have inventory in your system at all, then reading Ellie Goldratt's work is crucial for you. So he has a couple of books that are famous. One of them is called The Goal. The goal is kind of applying his theory of constraints to factory manufacturing. That's not the book I want to focus on today. He has a follow-up book that he published, I think a few years later, called Isn't It Obvious? So this book, Isn't It Obvious by Ellie Goldratt, it's a business novel that introduces the theory of constraints, and it tries to apply to a couple of different industries. In particular, let me share with you a couple of things that I see that could be applied to e-commerce-based inventory businesses. The book emphasizes the importance of identifying and managing bottlenecks in the supply chain. It offers strategies to optimize inventory levels, streamline operations, and synchronize activities to enhance the customer experience, reduce lead times, and improve overall profitability. And so basically in this book, Ellie is selling the idea that you must apply the theory of constraints in order to improve your business, especially in a very competitive market. So let me give you some nuggets here to try to bring this home. I'm going to give you a couple stories per normal, and then I'll give you one hack that I think you should take away. First nugget, the primary goal of the theory of constraints is to identify and manage that one bottleneck. This is kind of crazy for me to hear, by the way, when I heard him articulate. I didn't buy this at first, but he's right. If I could look at any system, you know, think about an assembly line or think about a value chain. Every system has a weak link. There's always somewhere where things kind of get bottled up or backed up and they can't flow as fast as other parts of the system. It's just the nature that every system is going to have a weak link. He calls that weak link the bottleneck. And if we can focus our energy on identifying the bottleneck and then managing and improving that bottleneck, that's the only way that you can improve the entire system. And so going into nugget number two, to drive this home even further, Ellie would say in the theory of constraints that any energy, any efforts invested in improving non-bottlenecks or non-constraints are actually wasteful. And that was hurtful to me, right? Because I want to improve every part of my business, and let's get the marketing team better. Let's get the sales team better, and let's get this system and this system. But if my one true bottleneck, if the one thing that is the most important limitation of flow is my setup department, then I can't make an extra dime until I figure that constraint out. So that was nugget number two, is we need to minimize the amount of wasted energy fixing areas that are not the current bottleneck. And by the way, the bottleneck does move. If you spend a couple of quarters really honed in on identifying and correcting one part of your value system, like maybe, for instance, maybe your bottleneck is your listings team and your ability to launch new listings on Amazon or to get the marketing listings tightened down in your Shopify site, you might hire some assets in that department and you might streamline your process. And now we fast forward 6 months and that's not your bottleneck anymore. Now your bottleneck may be something else, right? So the bottleneck does move, but at any given moment in time, theoretically, there can only be one true weak link in your system. And again, nugget number two is you'll waste energy, you'll waste money, you'll waste effort when you focus on things that are not that bottleneck. Nugget number three, throughput is what we have to define and emphasize in order to kind of follow this theory of constraints to its fullest. So sometimes we can get really caught up on revenue as a KPI or even like profit dollars. But Ellie Goldratt would say, no, you really need to look at what is it, your inputs, what's that input that's going into your machine, this business, and how do you maximize the throughput coming out the back of it? And so I can't wait to apply this to e-commerce. I've got a couple of really passionate nuggets about this, but let me start with a story because I'm going to give you two stories. First story, let me just simple example is an accounting firm like mine. Seller Accountant has a marketing department. We have a sales team. We have a setup team. We have a bookkeeping team. We have a CFO team. And then we have some admin functions. Of all of those teams, our bottleneck is almost always our onboarding team. In other words, if I had a sales team who could sell twice as many new accounts, if we had lots of new bookkeeping coming in or lots of new CFO clients, it wouldn't mean a hill of beans because there's only so many customers per month that my bottleneck, which is the onboarding or setup team, can handle. And so hiring lots of additional bookkeepers or investing in automations for the CFO practice, while those are interesting and we're going to do that, my primary focus needs to be to manage around my constraint, which is my onboarding team. So that's kind of a story to apply this to Seller Accountant. Now let's apply this to a private label brand. And if you guys have listened to a lot of my content, this is where I came up with this concept called return on working capital. Return on working capital for me, guys, is my application of the theory of constraints to an e-commerce business. And it's crucial that we try to understand, by the way, here's the question: what is the constraint for an e-commerce business? Do you guys know? Is it obvious? Capital, cash. Cash is almost always the constraint for the clients that we serve here at Seller Accountant. And so, how does capital get stuck in these businesses? Obviously, inventory, right? It's inventory. And so, for us at Seller Accountant, we created a new KPI, return on working capital, to not just understand profitability, which is helpful, but in a vacuum isn't all the way helpful. We want to understand profitability and cash velocity. How quickly can we turn our inventory so that we can unlock additional value, unlock additional throughput, as Ellie says in the book. So just know this. So from a e-commerce standpoint, if we can find a way to have the impact per dollar invested increase in an e-commerce business, that's how we increase throughput. And for me, that means increasing return on working capital. Let me dig at that a little bit more because that's a really confusing concept. By the way, I have a lot of content on our YouTube page related to return on working capital or ROWC. So feel free to look at it and get more of the math part of that. I can unpack how do you calculate that. You can calculate it for each SKU, you can calculate it for each channel, you can calculate it for your entire portfolio. But just know this: return on working capital, which I believe is the KPI that helps you apply the theory of constraints to your e-commerce business. Return on working capital is just the intersection of, think about the baseball analogy. What is my batting average? How likely am I to be happy every time I turn my inventory? If I have a more profitable product, I have a higher impact, and my return on inventory investment, is the KPI we use, is going to be higher. That means I have a higher batting average. Profitability being strong means I have a higher batting average. So kind of get that concept. But I also need to know how many at bats I'm going to get in the game. And so for Seller Accountant, the number of at bats is the number of inventory turns per year. So think about it this way. If I have a dollar that I invest in my product, I want to know how many times do I have to borrow another dollar, or do I get to reuse this one? Because guess what? If I sell the product, I get my inventory dollar back and I can redeploy that dollar to buy the inventory again. And here's my point, is that there are two fundamental ways to improve an e-commerce brand's performance. You can either improve profitability, that's like improving your batting average, or you can improve cash velocity in your business. And you can do that by getting better payment terms or liquidating bad product or just increasing the velocity and the number of inventory turns per year that you have for your business. And my thesis, and I've seen this play out over and over again, is that you can do either one of those two things, profit or velocity, and you can have impact on your bottom line and on your overall happiness. So I know that's a lot. That's really the deep end of the pool, but just I'm going to keep beating this drum. We have to focus more on pulling cash out of our supply chains, developing those relationships, and getting our throughput, which is called return on working capital, to improve in our businesses. One quick next level hack. Here's something that they talk about a lot in this book, in the Isn't It Obvious by Ellie Goldratt, is the case study that he walks through in this narrative. They go back to their factories, they go back to their suppliers, and they negotiate a deal where they can order every week for them. You know, for you and me, it might be more often. It might be once a month. It might be more often. It might be like once a week. But if we can find a way to lower the MOQ and make more frequent, smaller orders where we can be more responsive to demand in our sales, that is a low-hanging fruit hack to pull money out of your supply chain. When we have to place one container order or one contract per year, we put ourselves at a real disadvantage. And so one low-hanging fruit kind of next level hack is to fight tooth and nail to get lower MOQs where we can order more frequently. Even if I have to sign an annual contract, hey, I'm going to buy at least 10,000 units, but can I make those orders, Asian supplier, every week and just keep you up to date on what our forecast is so that you're not sending me 6 months of inventory across the ocean? I don't want that. I want you to send me little drips. You may be surprised, even if you had to pay a little bit more for shipping and that inbound freight, you may be shocked at how much that frees up in your supply chain. So again, this entire ROP series is great, but if you want to be a student of how to make money in e-commerce, you have got to take some time to geek out like I have and read Ellie Goldratt's work. The Goal is good. You probably ought to read that one or listen to it. But this book, Isn't It Obvious, really applies that theory of constraints to a retail business. And I think this is a must read. So check it out. I think this video has run a little bit long, or this episode has run a little long. Sorry about that. But we'll see you next week as we continue this summer school gold nuggets series from Return on Podcast. Cheers.